the few of us that are here, and hopefully people online too. We're going to sing some more Christmas carols this evening. We're going to start out by singing the First Noel on 265. You want to stand if you can. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Amen. All right. Oh, if I can turn the page here. There we go. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. All right, our next song is going to be Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adorned, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Late in light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen. All right, our last song this evening is What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come pleasant King. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
All right. Amen. Hark, the herald angel sings. Now, that passage is referring to Luke's gospel. They actually didn't sing. They said, they spoke, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But it's fun to sing it. Amen? I love singing that part. Hark, that herald angel sings. Any prayer requests? Prayer needs? Yes, sir, back in the back. Bobby. Rita Johnson family, mom said she died of cancer. Okay, cancer. And two surviving kids, you said? Ronnie and Rhonda. Okay, pray for that family. And then we just heard from Barbara Alexander today. The nursing home that Sarah Puente is in, that Miss Barbara is getting ready to transition into, They've had their first COVID case. Is that correct? What's the name of that nursing facility? Tomball Retirement Center. All right, amen. So we're going to pray for that COVID case there. Remember Lolly Jean? Been praying for her over First North Houston? Are you ready for this? God does miracles, man. She's going to get out of the hospital by Christmas. Yeah. Amen? And the doctors seem to think her lungs are going to come back to just about what they were. Now, they're not there yet, but her lungs are on the heel. I mean, they're healing up. That's a remarkable. I was talking to Brother Mike about that this afternoon. He said, it is a miracle. He says she got her sense of humor back. She's talking. She's visiting. You know, carrying on with. She's, you know, she's chomping at the bit to come back to church, you know, and all that jazz. So, can you believe that? I mean, I can believe it. God still does miracles. Amen. It feels good when you hear something like that, doesn't it? The miracle of healing. What a testimony that lady's going to have. Amen. When this is all said and done, whoo, mercy. That's something else. I can't tell you how many days she was on or how many weeks she was on a ventilator, but it was, I mean, they'd given the family literally no hope of her recovery. And I believe the Holy Spirit snatched her out of the jaws of death and brought her back. So, by the prayers of His people. Amen. Yeah, brother, in the back there's a sound booth. Okay, Felicia and Monty, just health. Pray for their health in general. Okay. Oh, amen. Tested negative. Negative. Amen. All right. What else? You got a praise? All right, amen. And how old is Addison now? Just turned 5. My soul. That is amazing. Praise the Lord. Huh, amen, yeah. Yeah, Miss Pat? 2. Yes. Yes. So, Julia recovered from heart surgery. And how old is she now? Do you know? Okay. That's a great praise. Amen, amen. Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And it's a pretty big deal. She's working for a big company. Say it, Papa's. I'm trying to say it, my mouth's not working. Papa's, yeah. In accounts payable, yeah, accounts payable. That's great. Amen. It's good, good, good. Yes, ma'am. All right, way to go, Miss Pat. And it's the left. Left ankle. Your other left. All right. Steroids. You got to love them. Hurts going in, but feels good when it takes care. When it starts to soak in. Healing. Out of boot in brace. Praise the Lord. Amen. What else? What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Blood thinner. Because of atrial fib, right? Okay, blood thinner. Because if you take too much, it causes issues. Yeah, they got to get that right, and they didn't have it right. So we got to get it right now. Yeah. Okay. All right, all right. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am. So that's coming up. That's the 30th. Uh-huh. Okay. Ten-four. All right. Surgery the 30th. Miss Karen, back. Got it. What else? Amen, Jeff. Anything else? All right. Remember, next Wednesday we won't have regular service. We'll meet Thursday at 5 for Christmas Eve candlelight and singing service. So we'll space ourselves out with our masks on and light our candles. And what song do we normally sing with that, brother? There you go. Silent Night. Amen. All right, that's a good one to sing. All right, well, let's lift these prayer requests up, shall we? Go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for our salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, instead of giving us wrath, you give us mercy. And Lord, thank you for dying in our place on Calvary's cross and taking the penalty of our sin so that we can have a way to the Father and spend eternity in heaven in a glorified body. Victors over sin and death. Lord, we're looking forward to that blessed day. Thank you that we can live a saved life now. Lord, we struggle with different issues and different sins and different things, Lord, but we seek to stay prayed up. We seek to stay confessed up. And Lord, we seek to keep a short sin account as we walk through the week and as we walk through each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and thank you for your tender care of us. And Lord, thank you for entrusting the gospel to us. Thank you for the faith. Lord, you made us in such a way that we can believe. And Lord, we're thankful for that, that we don't have to die in our sin and trespasses, Lord, but we can die in the incredible abode and the wonderful thing called salvation. Lord, we don't understand all of it completely. We know it's going to be awesome, and we praise you, and we thank you for it. As we think about this time of year, Lord, here we are coming up on the fourth Sunday of Advent. And Lord, we remember your Advent, your first appearing, your first coming. Lord, we are looking forward to your second coming, and we praise you. And we remember your death, and we remember your sacrifice. And Lord, we remember the love that all that represents. So we praise you, and we thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we think about these different prayer requests, we lift them up and we try to bind our hearts together, Lord, as we come to you in one accord and as we seek to pray with the Holy Spirit's guidance and help. Lord, as we just seek to rattle the bars of heaven tonight with our prayers, each and every person praying in their own way, praying silently, Lord, as we voice these things up to you, Lord, we seek to be a concert of the Holy Spirit inspired prayer tonight. So, Lord, we lift up the Rita Johnson family. Lord, we pray for them. As Rita has passed away, we pray for Ronnie and Rhonda, and we pray for your comfort. We pray for your peace. And Lord, we pray for Christians in the midst of that family and believers that love one another. Lord, we pray that they'd be the hands and the feet and they'd be Jesus in the midst of all that and would bring comfort and guidance to that family. Lord, we do lift up Tomball Retirement Center in this case of COVID that they've had. We pray that that would not be a spreading event and that there would be no other senior adults or staff that come down or that test positive for COVID. We pray a hedge of protection around that retirement center. We pray for Miss Sarah Puente, who is there. Pray you watch over her. We pray for Miss Sakura. She seeks to reach out to Miss Sarah and soon to be Miss Barbara Alexander. Lord, I pray that you just enable Miss Sakura, give her the timing, and Lord, just give her the opportunity to make contact with these ladies and reach out to them, send them cards, and calls. And Lord, we're just thankful for Mrs. Core's ministry there. But Lord, we pray you watch over that Tomball Retirement Center. Lord, we are thankful for the blessed news that Lolly Jean is almost out of the hospital. Lord, looks like doctors are going to let her go before Christmas, and she's going to get to come home, and Lord, back in her own bed and back with in her own house. And Lord, we're just thankful for the miracle of healing that you've brought in Lolly's life. And Lord, as we prayed months ago, you'd give her a testimony of healing. It looks like that's what she's going to have. And Lord, I pray that you just give her voice, that you give her opportunities, that you give her avenues, that you give her lost people to speak to about your healing hand upon her life. Lord, I pray she would pivot from the miracle that you've put in her life. She would pivot on that and explain and talk to them and give them the proof, the evidence, the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray their hearts would be pierced by hearing her story. The Holy Spirit would convict. And Lord, out of this, what seemed to be just this ongoing, long drawn out tragedy of life for Lolly Jean, I pray that you would turn that around into the salvation of the lost for people that she talks to, that she comes in contact with. Lord, I pray you make a bold witness out of her. Lord, we pray for Felicia and Monty tonight. Lord, we're praising you that they tested negative for COVID. And we just pray for their health, that you keep them healthy, keep them safe. And Lord, just give them what they need at this time. Lord, we lift up praise to you tonight for little Addison. We pray for the good report. Here she is, 5 years old, and numbers are looking good. Health is stable. All of it is just trucking right along like it should be. We praise you for that. Lord, we lift up little Julia tonight. We praise you that she's recovered from her heart surgery. And here, coming up on 1 year old, Lord, we're thankful that she's put on the weight. She's experiencing what it is to be a chunky little baby. Thank you for her. Lord, we're thankful for Alita's job. Alita was faithful to praise you in the midst of job loss, Lord, and pray to you in the midst of job loss. And Lord, her and Ronnie have lifted this request up, and you've opened a door and you've blessed in this way. And Lord, we pray this is the job of all jobs here at the end of her working career. We pray that she get to finish here, and this just is a great blessing to her and Ronnie, and she can be a blessing there, Lord. We pray for Christian friends, and Lord, we pray for Christian acquaintances there, and Lord, we also pray that she has opportunity to be a witness for you, and just to be a testimony of what Jesus Christ is in and how he is in and through our lives. We thank you for this job. Lord, we praise you for Miss Pat, and we're thankful that she's able to make small improvement with this left ankle. And Lord, we pray that this steroid shot would do what it's supposed to do, and the one she gets here in another week or so would do what it's supposed to do. And there wouldn't have to be any more surgery, Lord. We're just praising you for that. Thank you for the small step there. And Lord, we just pray that it would continue on. We lift up Brother Paul as he goes back to his cardiologist. We pray for a balanced blood thinner dose, whatever that may be. We pray that they dial that in. And Lord, he's able to do and go and be all that you've created and called him to be, Lord, that he gets some freedom back and gets that strength and everything that he wants to do, Lord, and that you've led him to do and called him to do. We just pray they get this medicine dialed in and get it right. Lord, we lift up Miss Karen. We pray in advance for this surgery that she's getting ready to undergo on her back, Lord, on the 30th. We pray for the surgeon. We pray for that anesthesiologist team. Lord, we lift up those surgical nurses. We pray for the folks in pre-op and in post-op. Lord, we just pray they take extra special care of Miss Karen. We pray that this surgery would give her the relief, would take away the pain, Lord, would just bring that back together the way it needs to be, the way the surgeon wants it to be, the way she desires it to be, Lord. We just pray for a healing touch on Miss Karen's back, Lord, and that you would just see her through as she gets ready for this surgery. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for those that are struggling with job loss. We lift up Brother Jeff to you. And, Lord, we pray you to open that door to that perfect job, to that job just fit for him. And, Lord, you would make it evident. Lord, you would just help him in that area. Steer, guide, and direct him, Lord. Father God, if it's a change of career, something like that, we just pray you make that evident to him, Lord, and just open that door, give him that leading, give him that inkling, Lord. Just lead God and direct him during this time, Lord. And just help him look to you and trust in you and know that you're a sovereign God. He's saved. You're in control of his life. Lord, help him see all that and just lean into you and lean upon you during this time. And Lord, we just pray the doors would begin to open for him. We lift up Gene Fuller's son to you, Lord, and we're praying for him and his loss of job. We pray that you would open the door for him. And Lord, as he starts his unemployment, we pray that you would help him find that next avenue, that next way to earn bread for his family, to earn a living. And Lord, we pray that you would bless him and even bless Jeff with even a better job than what they had. Lord, that you would just pour it out on them. Pour your blessing out on them. Lord, we're thankful for all the blessings of life, and we are so thankful for this time of year. And Lord, as cold as it is outside, we're thankful that we got some warm heat in here. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your word tonight as we get into it. And we just praise you and thank you for what you want to do with your word and with us. May we be submissive, obedient to it. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's think about our Bible study tonight as we continue on in the book of Exodus. We didn't get real far last time. We'll try to get a little further tonight. But we're in Exodus chapter 32. Now, Sunday, I really am going to bring a Christmas message. It will be the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent started on the 29th of November, and Advent ends, or the Sundays of Advent end, of course, this Sunday, because we got Christmas on Thursday. But the actual last day of Advent is Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday, when we come for Christmas Eve, that will be the end of Advent. We'll light the Advent wreath candles, and we'll do the candle and singing, but until then, we're still in our Bible study in Exodus. So Exodus 32, and we read verses 1 through 4, and so we'll pick it up here at verse 5. And basically, you know what's going on here. Moses has gone up to the mountain to receive the law, to receive the Ten Commandments, to receive the ceremonial law, what are the kind of laws we got? We got the ceremonial law, we got the what? We got the civil law, we got the moral law, which the Hebrews considered all the book of the law, right? We kind of break it down, not so much for them. But he's up there, Moses is, and he's up there for how long? He's up there for 40 days, right? 40 days, 40 nights. And so the people have grown restless, right? And so we read verses 1 through 4, so let's pick it up with verses 5 through 10. It says, now when Aaron saw this, okay, when he saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. Well, it's got Lord there, and that Lord there means Jehovah Yahweh, right? So they were on the right track. Verse 6 says, so the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink. And then we got this phrase there where it says rose up to play, and we talked about how the whole thing kind of degenerated, right, and got really awful. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Well, why have they corrupted themselves? Well, if you remember what 1 through 4 said, they're worshiping a pagan deity out of Egypt called the god of Apis. Okay, he's a fertility cult god. Okay, so that's what they're basically doing. And so he's in the form of a strong, young bull in all of his strength. And our Bibles talk about a calf, right? And I explained to you last week how a lot of commentators say, well, you know, we think a calf is, you know, a little bit of calf. In this context, a calf is a young, strong bull in all of his strength. Okay, so then verse 8, it says, they have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. Yeah, because they're worshiping a fertility god, right? They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, a young bull in its full strength, and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. And notice what he says, I will make of you a great nation. And then we have that beautiful entreaty. We're not going to get to it tonight. We'll get to it after Christmas. All right, we're not going to read it tonight, but you can read ahead if you want to. But we'll get to that beautiful entreaty. But we talked about last week how this entreaty, this prayer, this request, this supplication that he makes on behalf of the people, we said this was his what? His finest hour, man. I mean his finest hour. If this ever was the consummate pastor, this is the consummate pastor. The people are like, well, what has Moses done for us lately? He's abandoned us. He's up there with God. I mean, you can see the cloud and the thunder and the lightning. We don't know if he's been consumed or gone. We don't know where he is. I mean, they basically kicked Moses to the curb. And yet Moses, when he hears that God wants to snuff them out, and when he knows that they are doing this unbiblical stuff down here with this fertility thing going on, he prays for them. He prays, God, spare them. The consummate. If ever there was a model pastor outside of Jesus and outside of, let's say, even David as the wonderful shepherd, and let's say outside of the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul was a wonderful pastor. And, you know, I mean, there's some characters in the Bible that come up there as consummate pastor. But right here in Exodus 32, you've got a consummate pastor. I mean, just a wonderful pastor. We talked about last time, as we read through verse 10, we talked about problems at the foot of Mount Sinai. Problems at the foot of it. Last time we ended talking about the contextual meaning of Exodus 32:6, which I've already mentioned, and that we are dealing with here is God's chosen people forgetting very quickly who they were and what God had done for them. We always, how do we keep ourselves straight? How do we keep ourselves lined up with Jesus and lined up with God? How do we do that so that we don't quickly forget who we are in Christ? What do? We do what we're doing tonight, right? We get in the Word for ourselves. We pray. We talk to God, right? Don't forget. Don't quickly forget who you are in Christ. Their worship, the Hebrews here at the foot of the mountain, the Israelites, this young Hebrew people, just right out of bondage in Egypt, their worship spiraled into what can only be called, let me step away from the pulpit because I don't even like saying it behind there, sexual debauchery. It was awful, okay? Really got the Lord's attention. Basically, we said that their behavior couched as worship resembled the pagan worship of most fertility cults of the time period. The pagan god, and I'll mention him again, Apis, was worshipped for fertility in Egypt for abundant grain and herds. So basically what they were doing, long story short, kind of a review, they were returning to the pagan land mindset, spiritually, from which they had been delivered. And remember, all of those plagues, all of those plagues dealt with, each one of those 10 plagues dealt with what? One part of that Egyptian paganistic structure, right? Each one of those plagues. Each one of those plagues dealt with that. Amen? Are we tracking with me so far? Kind of, sort of, maybe? Yes, yes? If you're confused, it's okay. Not trying to confuse you. All right, so problems at the foot of Mount Sinai. Secondly, as we begin afresh, what is the takeaway, the first takeaway from Moses' finest hour here in Exodus 32? I hope in my life that I've not had my finest hour yet. Now, if I have, well, that's okay. But I hope my finest hour is yet to come. Amen? Amen? I mean, because this is really this intercession for these people that have turned their back on God. Whoo, man, it speaks of God's grace, doesn't it? It speaks of... And what did we say last week? We said that Moses is acting like a Christ type. He's acting like a Christ type, a type of Christ. Not that he is Christ, but even this act is foreshadowing Jesus dying on the cross. Okay, so the first great lesson, what is the takeaway? The first great lesson of the story, are you ready for this? Are you ready? I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but the first great lesson of the story, and I hate to say it, but I got to say it, the first great lesson of the story is that miracles, now we like miracles, don't we? God's still in the business of doing them. Amen? The first great lesson of the story is that miracles do not, are you ready? Don't guarantee faith. Miracles don't guarantee faith or faithfulness to God. Let me take you through it before you go, I don't know, preacher. Let me take you through it. Many people have said to me, if God would only do a miracle in my life, then I could believe in Him. Or if He would do a miracle right now, my faith would be a lot stronger than it is. Sometimes miracles cause people to turn to Christ. I've seen it in my own ministry. It does happen. Sometimes miracles cause people to turn to Christ and God and salvation, but many times they do not. Many times they do not. Miracles are not a sure thing for growing one's faith. Now let's go down memory lane. Will you go down memory lane with me just a little bit? I'm a 1980s guy, right? When I used to work at Southwest Airlines, right? I worked in a group and had an office, and they called me the young kids, right? And I was pretty young. I thought I was pretty young, right? But they had some younger kids there that worked. They were temporary folks, young people. And I was young. I was 25, 26. They called me 80s man, right? Because the way I dressed, right? So I had the, no sideburns. And I didn't have a beard back then. But, you know, I wore the pants with the narrow cuffs, you know, down by the, and rolled them up a little bit. Wore the boat shoes, rolled the sleeves up. Tuck the shirt in, you know, 80s man. So let's go down memory lane, right? Is that a picture in your mind you want to get rid of? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that, preacher. In the 1980s and 90s, there was a certain approach. Maybe you came across this in the 80s and 90s. A certain approach was propagated within the charismatic movement. Maybe you've heard of this guy. It was propagated mainly by a man. It started with him. I believe he's saved. I disagree with his view on spiritual gifts, but I think this guy's saved. But this man by the name of John Wimber, if it started to shake some of the cobwebs loose, he founded the Vineyard Church. All right, the Vineyard Church. There's some Vineyard churches. We had one not far from us in Kansas. Pretty good church. That was in the early 2000s. But the Vineyard Church, they presented, what I'm trying to get to, they presented evangelism as spiritual warfare. Now, hey, of course evangelism is spiritual warfare. There's a spiritual warfare component to evangelism, right? But there was an emphasis in this spiritual warfare evangelism on miracles as a way to catch people's attention and show that the God of the Bible is more powerful than the demon gods. That was the approach. That was the spin. That was the big push. People in this movement were eager to identify miracles and cast out demons, right? Now, we pray for miracles. They still happen. I'm not looking for demons, right? And there's not a miracle around every corner. Sometimes miracles are far and few between. God still does them, right? Right? But they were constantly doing this. So this kind of a recycling of... Now, it didn't... After the 90s, it kind of... And the Vineyard Church is not doing that so much anymore. But this episode involving the golden calf, a representation of the Egyptian fertility god Apis, ought to teach us, along with what happened in the Vineyard Church, ought to teach us that miracles do not guarantee a thing. If this approach of evangelism was so effective in the 80s and 90s, it'd still be going on. It ain't, right? It ain't going on. The Israelites here at the foot of Mount Sinai are a prime example in that there has never been. Think about these people. Think about the Israelites here at the foot of Mount Sinai are a prime example in that there has never been a time in all of history when any people has seen more miracles of greater scope in a shorter space of time than the Israelites did in their deliverance from Egypt. They saw the devastation of those plagues. Some immediately they saw, some from afar they saw. They experienced God's provision for them in the wilderness. Manna, quail. At the very moment when they began to worship the golden calf, God was on the mountain in an awe-inspiring demonstration and display of cloud and thunder and lightning. So much so that we are told in other places that the people trembled when they heard the sound. I'll give you an example. We've already covered it, but we'll look at it right quick. It's Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Stay the course with me. Hang in there. I'm going to get you out early tonight, I promise. Exodus 20. That's going to be my Wednesday night Christmas present. Early night out. Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. Exodus 20, 18 and 19. You found it? Yes, yes? All right. Exodus 20, 18, 19. Amen. It spells it out. All right, it says, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. Another passage, we don't have time to turn there, but I'll read it to you. You can write it down, is Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 18 through 21. Those of you watching online, we got anybody watching online, brother? Hey, welcome. I'm sorry I didn't welcome you tonight. Thank you for being here online with us. Hello, hello. We got plenty of room to social distance. Come on. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, the Word of God reads, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. That's Hebrews 12, 18, verse 19. And to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. So even Moses had to pull himself up by his proverbial sandal straps and really man up to go up in the midst of that. And then the people at a distance could see it. It was powerful. It was palpable. It was da-doom, da-doom. You know, you just look at it and your heart rate goes da-doom. I mean, it just beats out of your chest. Yet these miracles in the time of the people's crossroads, here they are at the foot of Mount Sinai. These miracles did not mean a thing. They turned away from these signs very easily and very quickly. Let that not be said of us. We don't want to turn away. We don't want to turn to the left. We want to go straight with the Lord. Amen? I have often thought, perhaps, in my musings, simple-minded musings, pastors, what's the word? Easily entertained. That's it. I have often thought in my easily entertained musings that perhaps this is why. This is why Jesus does not prescribe a celebration. He doesn't prescribe a celebration for His miraculous virgin birth. Now, you come to church Sunday and I'm going to geek out over the miraculous virgin birth. But Jesus does not prescribe. He does not prescribe a celebration for His miraculous virgin birth. He simply tells us to remember His death and look for His return, His second advent. Meaning that if Jesus' miraculous birth was so awe-inspiring, and it is to save people. If it was so awe-inspiring to the lost man, lost people would be coming by the droves to worship him and get saved every Christmas, right? I mean, you get it? You get what I'm saying? Yet lost people have a better chance. They have a better chance of coming under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit for salvation when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is taught, when the gospel is presented by you and by me in here and out there and in the byways and the highways. They have a better opportunity, right? And you know what I'm talking about when I say the gospel. I mean the gospel, baby. The gospel, right? That is when the lost person is aware that they are a sinner and that they're a sinner in need of salvation, that they have a sinful nature that they were born with, right? And God's taking care of the sinful nature. He's taking care of that by doing what? By sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as a substitutionary death for us, right? Jesus provides His life, His own life for our life on the cross. You know how it happens? It happens on Calvary's cross where Jesus shed His blood, right? His blood to cover what? Our sin and make a way for us to the Father. The gospel, right? He died. They buried Him. He resurrected. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. That's the beauty of the gospel. Amen? That gospel presentation of sacrifice, when we sacrifice, we are more like Jesus than any other time in our lives. So maybe our greatest sacrifice is our finest hour. Wow. Maybe. I mean, that's a light bulb moment for me. Anybody else? Light bulb coming on? Maybe when we, our greatest sacrifice is, that line, that tagline, finest hour. I guess that was for England. You know, a lot of young men and women died on behalf of the Commonwealth of Great Britain in World War II. That really was their finest hour. Right? Now, sometimes, or the gospel presentation of sacrifice on the basis of God's love is much more potent in bringing a lost sinner home than miracles. Can miracles be used to pivot and explain the gospel? Absolutely. What were miracles used in the Bible to pivot off of for a gospel presentation, right? Miracles were used in the Bible, in the Gospels, because what had not been completed? The Bible had not been completed, right? Today, Pastor Steve doesn't have to raise anybody from the dead, cure anybody's blindness, extend anybody's lame limb. He doesn't have to do that because we have the Bible. This is the testimony. The miracle was like a testimony to pivot off of and then give the gospel presentation. Right? So, sometimes miracles as seen in the New Testament draw people to salvation for an opportunity to hear the gospel, but many times the people following around Jesus and the disciples, many times, what did those people want when they saw Jesus do a miracle? They didn't want salvation. I want another miracle. I want a bigger miracle. You fed us yesterday with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's do that again. And again. And bigger. And bigger. And more. And more. And so a lot of people, especially leading up to the week before Jesus' Passion Week, right? A lot of people fell away because Jesus, not so much miracles, got down to the, yeah, the nitty of the gritty, the brass tacks, got down to the bottom line. And they were wanting, whoa. Miracle! And so they what? Yeah, man. I hear something you're saying, but the air's running and you're wearing a mask. Yeah, okay. My name is Jimmy. I want you to give me. Yeah. All right, amen. All right. Well, what keeps miracles from having the impact we think that they should have? It is none other than hard-heartedness. That's what keeps miracles from having the traction that they ought to have. That's why the people kicked old Moses to the curb and said, Aaron, you're the next man up. We got to have some kind of God over here that we can worship and get our praise on about, right? They were hard-hearted when it came to the one true Jehovah Yahweh God, right? They were hard-hearted, right? What keeps miracles, I'm almost done. I said I'm going to get you out early. What keeps miracles from having the impact we think they should have? Hard-heartedness, selfish self-focus, eyes and minds blinded by sin. Eyes and minds blinded by sin. Ephesians 4:18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 says, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3:8. What is so amazing about the Word of God is that Hebrews chapter 3:8, by way of Psalm 95:8, points back to the Israelites in the desert in Exodus 17:2-7, where the people quarreled with Moses about their lack of water and their false presumption. Do you know what their false presumption was? Their false presumption was in Exodus chapter 17, verse 2-7, that we've got no water, and because we've got no water, their false presumption was they doubted that God was still with them. You can see where doubt like that tells that there's a hard heart in there, right? God said what? I'm taking you to the promised land. God said what? I will provide. God said what? You have food and water. We always get confused with the what? The timing, don't we? We always get confused in the timing. We're ready for God to work on my time, on your time, and not always God's time. But God always works on whose time? God's time. And when it happens to coincide with my time, count it a blessing, amen? A miracle. But don't count on it all the time. Well, I'm using time a lot, right? Right? Okay. Their hearts were so hard, they could not comprehend the presence of the Lord. And so with that said, I'll end with this last verse to kind of make the home run point that miracles don't always lead to faith and faithfulness. Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 30. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, then I beg you, Father, Father Abraham, I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Remember the rich man in anguish, right? That you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that they may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, the Word of God. They have the Word of God. They have the law and the prophets, Moses and the prophets, right? They have the law. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, miracle. Someone goes to them, they will repent. And he's saying, no, they won't. No, they won't. Let them hear. Something palpable. Something powerful about the Word of God, coupled with the Holy Spirit, causes a change in us that leads some to salvation, that leads some to discipleship, that leads some to their finest hour. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you for this wonderful time of year. And Lord, we are thankful for the miracle of your birth. Lord, even though it's not prescribed to celebrate it, we celebrate you and love you and praise you nonetheless. We praise you and love you for everything about you. We thank you for a perfect life. We thank you for coming and living in a carpenter's house, for learning a simple trade. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for being a man of meager means. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for not lording it over us, but just lovingly drawing us. Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the power of it. And Lord, may we share that gospel with those we come in contact with. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight. And Lord, we look forward to a great, safe, wonderful time of worship this coming Sunday. And then, Lord, again on Thursday, as we prepare our hearts for the Christmas Eve candlelight service. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, for every opportunity we get to experience together, worshiping you with one mind, one heart, and one voice. May we be a people of joy. May we take the joy of Jesus with us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Sorry, just 4 minutes early. Thank you online, people. Thank you. Hope you can join us. We will be, we still online? All right, we will be, we'll be back Sunday. And then won't have services on Wednesday, but we will be here 5 o'clock Thursday for Christmas candlelight service. It'll be live stream, and you're more than welcome to come join us. It'll be great. See ya. Have a great rest of your week. Bye-bye. Good night.